Our gospel lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our sermon text this morning is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. The city of Philippi. Philippians and so the Apostle Paul founded that church up around 50 AD or so, 49 to 50. So within a little bit more than 15 years of the time of Jesus. And now he's writing to them from prison about 62 AD. This church community for whom he has great affection, they have a great bond, as is evidenced throughout the content of the letter. And he's writing to a people facing persecution. He's writing to a people who were experiencing, apparently, some form of internal dissension. And he's writing to a people who have been lovingly generous to him, and yet themselves are dealing with what might be financial hardship or concerns. And we'll look at our text in 3 points. One, as we just heard from our Lord in Matthew's gospel, do not be anxious. Two, pray instead. Three, live in peace. So first, do not be anxious. Easy, right? So the population of the United States is approximately, I looked this up, AI told me, is approximately 342 million. That means the U.S. contains about 4.2% of the world's population. At the same time, we consume more than 33% of the anxiety pills taken in the world, one-third. Now, by that measure, we are disproportionately anxious. And now, I realize that's in part due to what you might call the diagnostic expansiveness of psychiatric conditions. And if we think of pharmaceuticals as a form of technology, then any time a technology emerges, well, then we use it. That's simply the way it is. Right? And so that's in part what's going on. And yet I think our use of anxiety drugs tells us something about ourselves. We are an anxious people. Now, in the last few years, apparently, by all accounts, this anxiety has increased from what were already high levels. This has been especially the case among young people, kids, teens, 20-somethings, and the primary reason for that is the devices we carry on ourselves, whether in our pockets or purses or in our hands at all times. And I think why these devices are making us more anxious is, well, there's a lot to that. I'm not going to unfold all of that for you. But I don't think we're meant to have continual access to that much information. We're inundated with the world's distresses and people's thoughts all the time. And to a certain extent, while that's not their devices, our phones' only use, it's embedded in their design to hook you. So we keep coming back for more. And this kind of constant awareness of always being plugged in is a burden. And it is a burden, ultimately, that only God can carry. We aren't meant for that. We actually basically can't bear that. It's simply more than we can handle and more than we are meant to handle. And certainly, if that's your inclination, if you're already kind of struggling in the way that I just described, then over the past 2.5 weeks since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, this might have become even more intense. I'll confess up here, I've been captured myself in that way due to the intensity of the event and the intensity of the response. And so we find our hearts in turmoil and our anxiety increasing. So on the one hand, we are terribly anxious in and of ourselves, and at the same time, we have this technology that has this effect on us that multiplies and increases and feeds off our anxiety. So over a decade ago, I traveled to Ghana for a one-week mission. And a benefit to visiting a different culture from our own is the contrast enables us to see our own culture more clearly, right? Because of the difference. Going somewhere else makes the place you come from more visible. And maybe you've had a similar type of experience in your travels as well. And so one of the obvious contrasts to me as a visitor was this. In Ghana, they don't have the resources we have. So you don't have the internet for a few days, or the power goes out, or the water stops running, or you run out of this, or you don't have that. And obviously, this is very common in much of the world. And I don't want to glamorize that or make it seem as if it's better than, you know, not to have than what we have. But as a result of that, they do not live under the illusion that they are in control of life and the world. They don't live with this ongoing assumption that their life and environment are theirs to master as they see fit, because that's simply not the conditions in which they reside. Thus, they do not live with this ongoing sense of anxiety. There may be other sources of anxiety, such as what our Lord talked about in our text this morning, but in that regard, they don't live with a sense of anxiety that their lives, their environment, are going to get away from them because they don't have such an expectation. And so the result of that is a deeper and more sustained God awareness, God dependence, and God consciousness among those with whom I had the opportunity to relate. We, on the other hand, due to our abundance and the immediate availability of resources at our disposal, translate that into a strong sense of mastery and control. It all seems like it's within our reach, within our grasp. We're building our own ideal of what our life should be, our own kingdom, our own agenda, and we have expectations, and we expect them to be met. And the deepest source of our anxiety, this ongoing underlying restlessness, is that it's not going to work out according to our plan, that it is going to get away from us. Right? So just a couple of days ago, right, this was just on Friday afternoon, I broke the coffee pot for my coffee maker. An obvious crisis. You may have seen it listed on your newsfeed. It may have come up. I don't know. And so I get out my device, and I tap in a few places, and I order a replacement to come to my home early Saturday morning. There is no gap. There is no time when I will be without what I want. And it is a very ordinary experience, right? But as I was enjoying my coffee, and I did enjoy it, I don't feel bad about that, but I reflected on this kind of mastery and control we have to tap a screen and to shape the world according to our will. And there are downsides to this, my dear brothers and sisters. There are dangers associated with this that maybe we feel and maybe we have no access to at all. So on the one hand, we believe we're in control because we experience so much of life in that way. And at the same time, we're desperately afraid it's going to get out of our control because, of course, we're not in control, and we know that. Of course we don't, as life comes at us in all sorts of ways that are unexpected, surprising, and more than we are able to bear. And the more in control we desire to be, the more out of control we feel. And that's just... So we have the power, we have the resources, we have everything we need right here, and yet. So in Genesis 11, we read the account of the Tower of Babel, and this is what it says in chapter 11, verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." But God, in his mercy, breaks up their building project. He breaks up your and my building project that has us in control, that has us at the center. Because those are the things we need to be saved from. We need to be saved from the false belief that we are in charge, which actually fuels and accelerates our anxiety. In Proverbs 4:23, we are told, above all else, okay, that's attention getting. Above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Why do I say that? Because anxiety leaves our hearts unguarded. It makes them susceptible to all kinds of dangers and temptations in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. So what is anxiety? Well, one way to think about anxiety is this. Anxiety, again, I'm not, you know, big subject, but let me offer you one perspective. Anxiety is godless prayer. What do I mean? When we're anxious, we want something even if we're not quite sure what it is. And that's a form of prayer. We're not talking to God. We're talking to the problem. We're talking to ourselves. We're talking to our devices. We're talking to the void. Or, you know, and that is a form of prayer. Because we're desiring something. We're seeking it. We're saying, change the situation. You. But it's not addressed to the Lord. And the other thing we do when we're anxious is we imagine a world in which something has happened, or what we wanted hasn't turned out. And when we do that, we're living in a godless world. What do I mean by that? Well, we've created this world in our own mind where this terrible thing has happened. Has God created that world? Well, no, he hasn't. He has not. That's not the real world that you're living now, that God has created. In that world, the real world, if that such thing should ever take place, which it may not, right? You won't be by yourself. God will be there, right? But in the world that you've imagined, that you've created in your own mind, in that world, you're experiencing this terrible thing in your own imagination without God. So you are filled with dread. You are filled with anxiety. But you don't have to live there, because that's not the real world. That's why our Lord this morning in our text said over and over, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. So anxiety is godless prayer. It is imagining a future world that we have created without God, in which something unwanted happens to us. So I've spent quite a bit of time talking about the bad news of anxiety, and we could have gone in all sorts of ways. Is that it? Are you just stuck? Are we simply left to just live out our days with this constant note, this burden, this crushing burden? Is there good news? Is there a way out of living such terribly anxious lives? Well, our scripture reading presents us with the steps for us to take from anxiety to peace. In Philippians 4, we read, "Do not be anxious." Again, with the words of our Lord this morning from Matthew 6. But then we're not simply told what not to do. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. But it says in verse 5, the Lord is at hand. God is with you. God is for you. That's the real world in which you live. And then in verse 6 it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Nothing. That's easy. It's like, okay, I don't have to make decisions, right? It's like, okay, this is total. This is a very clear command. The scriptures are clear where we need them to be clear. Very clear. These are simple. Right? But in everything, in what? In everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we heard that at the top of the service this morning about prayer. So it brings us to our second point. Pray instead. Do not be anxious. Pray instead. So instead of godless, quote-unquote, prayer directed at the void, at the problem, at yourself, at the person in front of you, pray to God. Let your requests be made known to God. And it's interesting because, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says to pray without ceasing. And that's kind of an odd thing, right? So how do I do that? But if you think about it, if the note of anxiety and restlessness sort of permeates our lives and is a temptation at all times, then the invitation to prayer kind of makes sense to enter into at all times. And so God invites you, instead of looking out, instead of looking within, instead of looking around, God invites you to come to him and tell him what you want. And implicit in this is this invitation is a question. What do I want from the Lord? When we're anxious, our minds are racing, and we may not even be sure what we want, right? We're just in turmoil, and our hearts are troubled, and our thoughts are scattered. In making our requests known to God, we're forced to slow down our minds and our thoughts and to state what we want. What do I want? What is it that I'm after? Is this something I should want? Should I ask God for this? What am I troubled about? What is it that I want from God? You speak to the Lord. There is a reorientation. There's a slowing down. And you come into the presence of the one who is actually in charge. Everything is different. And you come, right, present your request with thanksgiving. Anxiety is about what I lack, what I don't have, what I wish I had, what isn't the way it's supposed to be, or what I'm afraid it will not come about. Thanksgiving is about what I have. What God provides. You have the Lord first and foremost, and all things needed for life and godliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So instead of godless, thankless prayer in a godless world in which you are all alone and your mind is racing and filled with noise, that's anxiety. You have grateful, God-oriented prayer with God present with you as you speak to him. Do you see the difference? Can you sense the difference? These are two different realities. And all day long, the temptation and the invitation of our world and all the ways we engage it is an invitation to the first one. And the consequences are devastating. And then in the midst of that, you come. And when you do that, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Which brings us to our third point. Live in peace. As you pray to God, as you let your requests be made known to God with gratitude, you live in the peace that you have with God, the peace that is from God in Christ Jesus. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this great, wonderful gift, somebody to trust in, somebody worthy of your trust, of your faith, of resting and relying upon him in every part of your life. Through faith in Christ, You are united to the Lord Jesus, and he is united to you inseparably. And so you have this inseparable bond in union with Christ. You have peace with God. Even as everything around you may be in turmoil, you have the greatest gift of all, brothers and sisters, peace with God. The biggest problem we have in this world is that we are at odds with our Maker. We have a conflict with the God of heaven and earth who upholds all things. We have a constant, there's constant friction, right? And that's why everything is the way it is. That's why it feels like it's breaking apart. That's why there's this turmoil and what feels like on the edge of madness, because it is madness, to be at odds, to be in conflict with God himself. And that's why there's this constant note of anxiety that permeates everything, because we don't have peace with God. But in Christ Jesus, our Lord, you have peace with the Lord. You have the peace of God, the peace that is from God. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give." Right? So this is not something that you can attain. And as our Lord reminded us this morning, which of you by being anxious can change anything or do anything? This peace is not something that you can attain. The world cannot give it to you. And apart from this peace, you have this constant wearying, anxious striving. But this peace is a gift. It is the gift of the Lord himself. And the Lord says, in the midst of all of the anxiety, come to me, all who labor and are burdened, are heavy laden, troubled, anxious, and I will give you rest. I know, I'm not telling you anything new. For many of you, for some of you, maybe it is new. But I think, I can't be reminded of this truth enough. This is never old, dear friends. It is always new and it is always good news. Come to me. There's one that we can go to who can bear it all. What an invitation, what an offer, and I will give you rest. You hear him addressing you personally. This was, whoever, I don't know if the scriptures were put together after I sent in my sermon text, though. But it all seemed to fit together so nicely this morning. This is from our Isaiah reading this morning, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Imagine that. You keep him in perfect peace. And in Psalm 127, we read, for he gives to his beloved sleep when we're anxious. When your sense of yourself and of the world is distorted, what is one of the effects? Sleep becomes elusive. Right? Because without you, how can anything go on? But the Lord gives you his beloved sleep. He gives you rest in him. He gives you rest from the illusion that you're in charge. He says, let me take from you what was never yours in the first place. Sleep is the best evidence that this world runs just fine without any of us. In case we have any illusion at all, every single time we die to the world and we wake up and everything's there. It's all still running because God doesn't need us. Yet how much he loves us. He does not need us. And yet he pursues us. And he invites us to come to him with our requests. And he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened and are heavy laden, who are anxious. Right? There is one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the keeper of God's people, the keeper of this world. And again, getting back to our dreaded devices, one of the effects of their overuse is lack of sleep. I know when I'm off, my sleep is off. How about you? And Psalm 4:8 says, In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There is one who says, I give you peace, I give you rest, I give you safety, I give you joy. That's how our text began this morning, Philippians verse 4. Rejoice. Why? Because of all that you have in the Lord, which nothing but nothing can take from you, which anxiety obscures. Anxiety and joy, they're not good friends. One will dominate the other. Our joy drives out, says to our anxiety, get out. Because as it says in Psalm 16, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So continuing in verse 7 of our reading in Philippians chapter 4, it says, and the peace of God, right, that surpasses understanding. The peace of God surpasses your capacity to understand. Christianity is in no way unreasonable. It is not contrary to reason, but just the opposite. And in being reasonable, we reasonably recognize, I am not God. That's the first step towards reason. And so you trust God when your capacity to understand reaches its limit. That is reasonableness. Why, Lord, did you not heal? Why are you not answering my prayer? What you tell us to pray for. Why would a 31-year-old young husband and father who's reaching thousands of young people be so horribly murdered? There's a gap in your understanding. The peace of God goes beyond your understanding. It carries you through. You trust him in the gap all the way. You live in the peace that you have with God, in the peace of God, in the gap, in the place that is beyond your capacity to explain it all or figure it all out. And in that peace, your heart and mind are guarded. They are protected, protected from all sorts of temptations and assaults. Anxiety, as I said at the top, anxiety leaves us unguarded. I think that's the logic of this. Anxiety leaves you unguarded, defenseless, tempted. Right? And all of us have particular sins that we gravitate towards, maybe more than others, particular temptations. You know your heart before God. But anxiety takes us to those places of false comfort and false escape, right? To deal with the heartaches and the difficulties of life. But so instead of anxiety leaving your heart unguarded and vulnerable to all of that which may come your way, the peace of God guards, protects, shields your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is what God promises, and this is what he provides for you. And then Philippians 4 continues now in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What are you after? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What are you praying for? This description in verse 8 is really of the Lord himself. It is his kingdom and his glory. Is that not how our Lord invites us to pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What are you striving for? What do you want from God? Whose kingdom are you after? Jesus died and experienced, and in so dying, experienced the horror of the grinding restlessness and trouble of his soul, of all of the turmoil and all of the godlessness of our anxiety came upon him. He was completely unguarded for you. He hung and had no defenses whatsoever. What crushes your soul, he bore for you to deliver you from it and to give you
is peace. And to invite you to live in that peace and to be renewed in that peace again and again and again and again. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And then you rose. And because Jesus rose and is alive, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You need not be anxious. You can simply trust him. Your prayers in the Lord are heard. You can give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord and his purpose while having peace in fellowship and communion with him. All of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, brothers and sisters. So remember, instead of godless, thankless prayer in a godless world, you have thankful prayer in God's presence into which you enter into his peace. That is life. On some level, this is every single day when we wake up, these are the two trajectories that are set before us. And sometimes we can go back and forth within them throughout the day, but we can always return. We can always return. Why? Because the temptation to anxiety is always there. So I say to you this morning, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to him who reigns. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we now come in prayer. Lord, you know the state of all of our hearts even this morning. You know the struggles and the things that beset us and tempt us to live anxious lives, lives in which that are in hearts that are in turmoil, and the struggles that we have. And yet, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, and we come to you with gratitude for all that we have in Christ, all that you are, Lord Jesus, all that we have in you, Lord, and in you we have all things. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And so, Lord, we thank you that in the midst of such turmoil, we can enter into your peace through prayer. And that peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I pray, Lord, for Westminster Presbyterian Church, as this church, this beloved body, turns to you in prayer, that the peace of God, both personally and corporately, that peace of God that surpasses understanding, would guard and protect the hearts and minds of this people and all that they face, Lord. That would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that you would give to your beloved peace and rest as they come to you. For we pray in Jesus' name, in the fellowship and communion and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.